Hey, everybody!
Oh, hi!
It's time. It's Mick Jeffrey and Bobbert!
Oh, man, that Dell upgrade.
Hit the queue.
It's because you upgrade your Dell. You got a new Dell, dude.
I re-upped the Dell. I got a new Dell computer, only the finest. Shout out to your friend and mine, Mr. Russell.
The Sooge.
He sold me his old quality laptop for 100 clams.
Probably shouldn't share that information.
Well, I'm just trying to get him business. Oh, he doesn't do this for a living. Never mind. Anyway.
Deep friend discount.
Yeah, so it's good to have friends who have extra.
Yeah, well, we already talked about this. Where would you be in this world if you had no friend? If you didn't have no friends?
Oh, I would have killed myself.
Don't need to get that ridiculous.
If I had no friends?
If you didn't have, you would have friends, but if you didn't have a certain group of friends.
Well, that's...
Maybe you'd be homeless?
I feel like... No, I'd
You'd probably be homeless.
No, I'd probably made some of my life by now. Y'all, my crutches.
Oh, is that it? All right, you're out.
Oh, damn.
Evicted.
Been a good run. All right. It is week 52.
Oh,
52 pickup, yo.
Oh, man.
There's as many episodes as there are cards in a deck of cards. That means nothing. All right, but
is that how many cards are in the deck of 52 cards?
52 pickup.
Yeah.
Are you not familiar with that game?
Yeah.
Worst game ever. but yeah, so we're getting into it. Moving along, we got to go over the what happened. Oh, man, we got a cue for that.
Whoa.
Hey, what happened?
There it is. What happened indeed?
Well, we just jumped right to it. No preamble.
Well, we just did the preambles. talked about friends.
Okay.
Yeah, so for the first podcast on the new laptop, shout out to Robbie here for figuring out pretty easy stuff to get it to work.
Literally two clicks of the button.
Yeah, I'm not technically savvy.
Grandpa Jeff.
Yeah. Might as well be. I have my strengths. That is not one of them. But hey, week 51 happened, so let's go over it real quick. We started the qualifying round.
I thought we were week 52.
No, we're week 52 about... this week. Last week was 51.
Okay.
That's how it works.
Okay,
so...
Consecutive numbers, got it.
Yeah, they go higher, not lower. And Murphy decided to... He's had enough of this. He'll be back, I'm sure, to bark at something. Dick in the Box by the Lonely Island.
Dick in the Box.
Justin Timberlake. Took it to Hunter by Dido. That's a 13-3 TKO. That's what happened there.
I'm going to have to come in on Sunday, too.
What the... Wait, he has with Office Space references? Okay. Match two.
Yep.
Chris Cornell with his James Bond theme, You Know My Name, took out Duffy.
You Know My Name. You Know My Name.
Oh, you are feeling goofy today. Took out Duffy and Her Mercy. Showed no mercy for Mercy. That's a 10-7 finish. Cornell moves on, and my burrito hopes get dashed early. All right, so we have the power couples, T.I. and Rihanna, up against Estelle and Kanye West, and the hate for Kanye
continues
indeed, as Live Your Life by T.I. takes out the American...
Hate is stronger than love.
Yes, indeed. but love conquers all in the end, so... Well, maybe hate does, too. It's not a mantra you want to tattoo on yourself, though, I'm guessing.
Unless you're Travis Bickle.
A hero to many.
Yeah.
So, all right. Go see Joker, everybody. We haven't, for the record, seen it. By the time next week, we both will have seen it.
Maybe we'll have like a side discussion.
That's funny. You used to have a YouTube channel for this kind of thing.
I know.
What happened?
Life gone the way.
Yeah, new job.
Bills.
Yeah. Bills. It wasn't paying them. So, ta-da. Yep. Live Your Life by T.I. takes out American Boy by Estelle, 13-5. The oh, so, all right, this happened. So, Timbaland featuring Carrie Hilson and D.O.E. versus Sebastian. So, that's already annoying to say all that. The Way I Are, annoying to say that. Bad grammar. Fell to Coheed and Cambria's Welcome Home, 11-3. Boy, you seem to think The Way I Are was going to do all right. And it really didn't. At all. So...
Yeah, I called it. I told you this.
Dude, you called it, yet you picked it as a Final Four.
Yeah, because I was hoping against, you know, the masses. I'm not going to pick based on the masses. I'm going to pick on the stuff that I
like. How are you ever going to get a burrito?
I guess I'll never get a burrito. All
right. All right, well, Coheed and Cambria, the rock and roll song, made it through 11-3. Pretty impressive. Timbaland, well, we're done with him. Love It Huffy by D4L got squashed by Jamiroquai's 7 Days in Sunny June. So everyone can, as a consensus, that Laffy Taffy is a terrible song. 13-3 TKO in favor of Jamiroquai. God, there were a lot of featuring artists last week. There's only one featuring artist this week, so it's a nice change of pace. So Gorilla featuring Booty Brown, the San Fernando Valley Youth Chorus. Their song Dirty Harry faced Time for Heroes by the Libertines. Gorillaz with a 13-3 TKO there. And then we have Sierra featuring Ludacris's O up against Heartbeats by The Knife, and The Knife's pull off an 11-3 victory. Knife's have fans, apparently, that I maybe underestimated. And Me and God by Josh Turner face Dr. Dre featuring Snoop Dogg, Corrupt, and Nate Dogg. The next episode moved on to the next round with a 13-3 TKO. So TKOs aplenty this week. Into the quarterfinals we go, where Dr. Dre's next episode fights a very lively Knife, but 14-8 to finish there. The closest match of the week belongs to The Lonely Island and T.I., with The Lonely Island skating by with 11-10 finish there. I was not a deciding vote, because I would have gone T.I., because Dick in the Box is not a good song. It's just not. Chris Cornell easily takes care of Jamiroquai with a 13-3 TKO, and Coheed and Cambria have no answer for the Gorillaz, as 15-5 is the finish there. Into the semifinals we go, where Dr. Dre gets rid of the Lonely Island with a 17-7 finish, and Gorillaz try to put up a fight, but Chris Cornell, you know, say his name, motherfuckers, it's a 16-11 finish, which puts Chris Cornell, does the death bump have any meaning, up against Dr. Dre in the next episode. Last time Dr. Dre was here, forgot about Dre, made it to the final round, came up short. Will he come out short again, or will Chris Cornell notch his second appearance, one with Audioslave, one solo, into the Ultimate Tournament?
Let's find out.
Oh God.
Let's find out.
Oh God. This is gonna be bad.
Okay.
This is gonna be horrible.
All right. Watch your language.
Well, I found the karaoke version that. All right. This is just gonna be awkward and weird.
Okay.
Here we go. Na 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 na, it's the motherfucking D-O-double-G. La na 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 na, you know I'm mobbing with the D-R-E. What, yeah, you know what's back up, motherfucker, what. So blaze the weed up then, blaze it up, just blaze it up, yeah, whoops, Snoop. Top dog, buy them all, beat the shit up, DGDC might turn the shit up, CPTLBC, yeah, we hooking back up, and when they bang this dub, drug deals, yeah, they giving it up, low life, yo life, boy, we living it up, taking chances while we dancing in the party for show, slip ho 44, she gonna back though, bitch, look at me strange, but you know I don't care, step up from the motherfucker just to swing in my hair. Bitch, quit talking, crip walk if you down the set. Take a bullet for some dick, take the dope on this jet. Cut out of town, put it in the father of rap, and you'll get cracked, bitch, shut your trap. Come back, get back, that's a part of success. You believe in the S, you're relieving the stress. I guess I should do the Dre part since this is technically his song.
Sure, why not?
La na 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 na. You know, it's Dre, motherfucker. Wow. La da da da. You know, I'm mobbing with the D-O-double-G. Straight off the motherfucking streets of CPT. King of the beats, you ride him in your fleet. Fleet, what? Coup de Ville rolling on dubs. How you feeling? Whoop de whoop. What? Dre Snoop Chronic out the lack. Doc in the back sipping the cognac. Yeah, it's clipping the strap. Dipping through the hoods. Compton, Long Beach, Inglewood. South Central on the west side, west side. It's California, love this California bug. Got gang of pub, I'm on one. I might bail up to the Century Club with my jeans on and my team strong. Get my drink on and my smoke on. Then go home with something to poke on. It's Triple O coming real the next episode.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That was
there's like literally four people singing in that song, and I tried to catch the essence of all and failed to do any. Mm. But I got that la 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 part down. That's the important part.
Mm.
So the next episode makes it and is the 51st entrant in the Ultimate Tournament. So, and our third straight hip hop song.
What do you know?
So we have back-to-back M&Ms, we got a Dre. Hey, we even got a Snoop Dogg. So.
I mean, M&M, I don't know if I'd count that as anything.
It's hip-hop.
It's something.
By definition.
That particular song that won last week, yeah, was a parody song. That's a joke song.
It is, because it's his Slim Shady.
Well, Slim Shady, please stand up. We got a problem here.
Listen to that previous podcast to hear Rob's wonderful version of The Real Slim Shady. And let's just get into it. Week 52 is the thing that's about to happen.
Yeah.
We got to start with that first song here. But, as you may know, a particular artist doesn't like it when we play his song. So we got to play the different version. And here it is for your ears. Murphy loves it.
This is horrible.
It's pretty bad. I slowed it down even more.
Just turn it off. Just turn it off. Nobody wants to hear the rest of this. It doesn't sound good at all. Like the other version where it's slowed down a little bit, it actually works. This does not work.
Alright. I dabbled a bit.
Yeah.
Money! Alright.
It's like a clip from a Clive Barker horror movie.
You should appreciate it.
All your pleasures, your experience.
Give me money!
Alright. Oh, no tears, please. It's a waste of good suffering.
That movie is a silly movie. Alright, so what was that we...
I don't know, but I will say that I was supposed to talk about Gold Digger, a song recorded by American rapper Kanye West, featuring guest vocals from one Jamie Foxx.
Oscar-winning
Jamie Foxx. Yeah, quite a renaissance man.
Indeed.
You know, started off, you know, on a sketch comedy show.
Living Color.
Went on to become a movie star thanks to what's-his-face, Oliver Stone. Sure. And Any Given Sunday.
They also had the Jamie Foxx show.
That's right. But, you know, that movie made him a movie star. He also happens to, you know, be a singer.
Yes.
And rapper.
And like a serious singer. Podcast
host.
Yeah.
Or I guess it's a radio show host because it's on like XM or something like that, yeah, right?
Satellite radio.
Satellite radio, yes, yeah.
That's radio.
He's a TV game show host. That Shazam show where it can the contestants beat Shazam in guessing the song within...
Oh, that's a show?
Yeah. Jesus. I forget what it's called. That's what it's called. What's it called?
Shazam?
Yeah. No, I'm saying that's the name of the game show. What's it called? What's that song?
I don't. Okay, we'll go with that.
Yeah.
So, only thing left for him is Broadway. And for all I know, he has done live stage
work. I also believe that he is one of the contestants on The Masked Singer this season. I think he is the leopard.
Get out of here with that. Well, that
you should listen to it. I bet you
we'll come back to this.
Okay, all right.
I will ask you, when will the leopard be revealed?
Well, if he continues to do well, he may be the last. He may be the winner. So,
is that your money's on the leopard going all the way because it is Jamie Foxx, journeyman?
Yeah.
All right.
He was eliminated in the first, but he came back for the fight at the end between the two losers.
People don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah, that's okay. I bet you people do know. I bet you people.
What's the name of the show again?
Masked Singer.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see.
All right. Masked Singer. Catch it on NBC. Is it an NBC show? Feels like it.
And Masked Singer is on Fox.
Oh. Yes.
You should. That's gonna be the title of the podcast. What? Masked Singer. Catch it on NBC.
I'm not titling it that. All right. Well, this is Gold Digger by Kanye West featuring Jamie Foxx.
That's exactly what I just said. Yes.
Yeah,
it is from West's second album, Late Registration. Yes. And the song was released July 5th of 2005.
Summer Jam.
And it was very, very popular.
Yes. One would say it may be his signature song. Probably his most well-known song.
Kanye or Jamie Foxx?
Kanye. No.
Gold Digger?
Probably both. If you ask Joe Sixpacks is not familiar with Jesus Walks. They are familiar with Gold Digger.
Jeez.
I would even say Faster, Stronger, Whatever. It's probably Jesus Walks, Whatever.
You know, you do you.
I feel like I got a finger on the pulse of America.
You do you.
Yeah, I do. I've done these so many times.
In terms of charts, let's take a look, huh?
Hey, number
let's
one.
Let's see.
Feels like a number one.
Damn, so many ones. Number one on the Rhythmic Songs chart. Mm-hmm. Number one on the Rap Songs chart. Mm-hmm. Number one on the Pop Songs chart. Number one on the Hot R&B Hip Hop Songs chart.
Mm-hmm.
Number one on the Billboard Hot 100.
Did all right.
Adult R&B Songs, number 27.
The hell?
Yeah.
What the hell was ahead of it? 26 other songs, clearly.
Yeah. I wouldn't know. So,
let's
see if we got any info here about this thing here.
Rob coming in strong with his notes.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's see what I got here. Many surmise that West conceived of a Gold Digger after watching Jamie Foxx's Oscar-winning portrayal of Ray Charles in the biographical film Ray.
What? Yeah. Gold Diggers and Ray? I don't recall that.
I don't know. Well, I think what they're saying is that he inspired
to use him.
Right, because he could sing. And he wanted a Ray Charles sounding type in the background.
Well, he went to the right place.
Yeah. But he said that he had actually constructed the beat of the song long before the movie was even developed. So he's saying, "Duh, man, it's all me. All me. All right. No Jamie."
Okay. Jamie Foxx was just a fine accessory to the song.
Yeah, apparently West originally produced and recorded the song in Atlanta for Shauna's 2004 debut album, Worth the Wait.
Who?
I know exactly.
Shauna?
And written the chorus from a female first-person viewpoint. But for unknown reasons, Shauna passed on using the song.
What a dummy.
Who's Shauna? Let's see.
I don't know.
Let's look her up. Roshana Guy is her full name.
Oh.
She was the first female artist signed to Def Jam South through Ludacris's Disturbing the Peace Records.
Does her discography show what songs were successful?
She's one of only 8 female rappers to ever have a number one song on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 with 2003's Stand Up with Ludacris.
Oh, so she was a featuring act.
Sure.
That doesn't count.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So, Gold Digger. What do you think of his stance that he's just going biblical now?
That's what happens to disgraced people all the time. They always go biblical at the end.
You don't think it's going to stick, do you?
When he has like some sort of like mega pop hit, he'll be back to doing what he does best. Being inflammatory.
Yeah, he's good at that. All right.
The Kanye West roller coaster has been quite a ride, especially those of us who liked him.
Yeah.
It's been a rough ride. There's been some neck-breaking turns and
it's like and
stomach well, turning. Well,
what was the point where you couldn't defend him anymore?
I think after the election and he went and met up with Trump, mm-hmm. I was like, bro, I mean, you said that you would have voted for Trump, but you might have been one of those things like you say because, you know, you're that type of person to get people riled up. But to actually, like, you know, go meet the guy and be like, yeah, he's cool. Like, that's...
Do you think Trump actually knew who he was?
Nah. Be like, oh, this black guy, this African-American
like
individual.
Trump said, this guy will give you cred.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually worked the opposite way. This will kill your career, Kanye.
Yeah.
But all that said...
All of it said.
As much as people don't like Kanye...
I said it.
There's no way.
You know what?
He could not beat the
your listeners will figure it out.
Of goddamn douchebags. Maybe my least favorite song in this whole tournament. I said that a few times, but oh my god, do I hate this song. And I was just reminded when I put I'm going to just let you listen. Okay. It has probably the most heinous line in any song in the decade, which we'll get to it.
Sweet.
Let's do it.
Bestest. No one knows who you are. Just another girl alone at the bar.
She wants to touch me, woo. She wants to love me, woo. She'll never leave me, woo. Woo, woo, woo.
Don't trust the hoe. Never trust the hoe. Won't trust the hoe. Won't trust me.
She wants to touch me, woo. She wants to love me, woo. She'll never leave me, woo. Woo, woo, woo.
Don't trust the hoe. Never trust the hoe.
Shush, girl, shut your lips. Do the Helen Keller and talk with your hips. I said, shush, girl, shut your lips. Do the Helen Keller and talk with your hips. I said, shush, girl.
Is this a real song? This is not a Lonely Island song.
No. These guys.
Oh, wow. So they're like the frat boy, bro-y, misogynistic, you
have
to listen.
Have you even know insecure. What they look like? Oh, my fucking God. They are, this is 303. That's number 30 with an exclamation point, 3.
Uh-huh, yes.
And this was their big hit, Don't Trust Me. Released in 2008. Peaked at number 7 on the Hot 100 charts. This is a duo from Boulder, Colorado, Sean Foreman and Nathaniel Mott. They are basically electronic bro duo who make very, very terrible songs that sound like parodies, but they couldn't be more serious.
So are they actually like incels?
I don't even know if they know what an incel is.
Because they're too bro-y.
Yes. This would be
they get all the... They're definitely not.
And the thing is, if you look at him, one of them is your classic bro douche looking dude, and the other dude is like a freaking waif thin, long black haired, like freaking gangly looking motherfucker. And they're playing these songs and they're acting like they're hot shit. And like I said, unlike Lonely Island, where there's like a wink and a nod, these guys are playing it straight.
Well, maybe that's the greatest joke ever played. Maybe they are.
They're horrible.
Maybe they purposely make bad music, act like they're serious about it, but they're, you know, it's all a joke.
So much douche chills. the song is essentially glamorizing the party scene. The line in question is...
Don't trust me.
Shut your mouth and move...
Shut your lips.
Shut your lips. Do the Helen Keller and talk with your hips. And talk with your hips. Yeah.
Where's that from? That sounds familiar.
No, that's a 303 original, dude.
They invented that shit?
That is a... That is, I mean, not that I'm a Helen Keller.
I feel like I've heard that.
That's before. Probably why you know him, or if you know anything about him.
Maybe that phrase is all I know.
Yeah, because it's so bad.
Yeah.
I have fun facts, because I don't really want to talk about them more than I already have. But they are actually the third act with the number 3 in their title to make it into the top 10. Can you name the other two acts?
Three Doors Down?
Yes. You have to go a little back for the other one.
Oh, then I don't know.
38 Special.
Oh, yeah.
Though there are three other
acts. But that's not three.
The number 3. Starts with a 3.
But that's not 3. That's 38.
No, I said it starts with the number 3.
No, that's wrong.
So 3 gets it.
Incorrect. 3 Doors Down is accurate. 38 is not.
The number 3 is the first part of the name.
No. 38 Special. No one says 38 Special. They say 38.
I say 38 Special. 3 other acts that have made the top 10 with the number 3, but not...
Did you invent that fun fact yourself, or did you pull it from some inaccurate website?
I pulled it off songfacts.com.
So they're inaccurate, and you just decided to perpetuate that inaccurate
information. No, the number 3 is in the title.
No, it's not. Number 3 is not in the title. 38 is in the title.
We're saying the first digit of the name of the band is a number 3. Aye. So there's 3 other acts that have...
See, that you got 3. What you just said, 3 other acts, yes.
3 other
acts. Not 38.
So also there's 3 Dog Night, the 3 Degrees, and I'm going to count it, and you're going to obviously have issues based on the 38 Special thing. Third Eye Blind.
Yes, that's incorrect as well.
Oh, Mr. Semantics on the mic.
That one, Third Eye Blind, is closer to being correct than 38 Specialists.
No, by definition, I'm correct. All right. And that's all I'm going to say about that band. And yeah. Kanye should be...
Yeah.
All right, country music, everybody. Let's. Oh, God. Yeah, you're making it worse.
For the audience, it doesn't sound any different. For us, is the only reason why we're fiddling with the microphone here.
Yeah. Well,
apologize. Sounds like we're having like a conniption fit over here, but that's okay.
What else is new? All right. Let's bring it on. Let's do this.
Yeehaw! Yeehaw.
All
right. Yeehaw.
All right.
That right there is So Small, a song co-written and recorded by American country music artist Carrie Underwood.
American Idol champion.
It was released August 14th, 2007, and is the first single from her 2007 album, Carnival Ride.
Oh, fun. It's very blasé.
Yeah, it's the first single...
That was her first single?
No, hold on. Murphy. Hold on. Let me finish before you walk all over I got
my stomping shoes on.
Yeah. It is the first single of which Underwood shares a writing credit.
With?
Hillary Lindsay and Luke Laird.
Fuck off.
I'm just saying.
Come at us with the fun facts. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Hillary Lindsay is an American singer-songwriter born in Washington, Georgia.
Oh.
I don't know if she's actually...
Any good?
Got any. Number one song. She's got a lot. She mostly writes.
Yeah.
A lot of...
She's a hit maker.
I don't see her actually performing any of her songs. That's okay. You don't have to sing. You can be like a Sia and then maybe have a career change near the encore.
You make your money, that's the important part.
And then Luke Laird is a country music songwriter and he's written over 20 number one Billboard singles.
Oh my god. He does 20 okay.
over number one.
That's impressive.
20 number one Billboard singles. stuff for Casey Musgraves, who? Toby Keith.
Oh, I know him.
Rascal Flatts, Tim McGraw.
And the like.
And the like, yes.
So Small, this is Carrie Underwood.
See, let's see how this one charted. Number one on the country charts. I don't see much in the way of charting. Oh, the U.S. Country Songs Billboard chart. Number one.
Yeah.
On the Billboard Hot 100, what do you think it landed on?
It's Carrie Underwood, so she does have clout. I'm going to say she 28.
17.
Oh, yeah, so that clout did push her.
Girl.
Yeah, that's lovely. So, anything else to add?
Underwood's quote on So Small.
Yes.
She said it is a feeling song on how people invest so much of their time and energy into things that aren't really important. And you don't really realize that until it's too late. We're all guilty of it, as I know I am, of just letting silly things get in the way. The smallest thing can almost ruin my day, and at some point I realize that my iPad just died. Can I finish reading the quote? So, we're done.
Okay. Well, don't stress over it.
Yeah, it's the little things.
It's the little things. So you just moved on to your littler thing, your iPhone, to pull up your...
But I'm done with that.
Okay, that's fine, because it's going to get stomped by this song. Let's just
play. Oh, yeah. Jump ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
But to
finish the quote?
No. But do you realize the very next song after this one?
I know.
we'll talk about it.
Oh,
it's ridiculous.
So off. It should have been a match. It would have been.
It's ridiculous.
It's actually hilarious. Dang it! You're always messing with my shit. All right, so that was Queens of the Stone Age with No One Knows. Released in 2002, this would be their only charting song on the Hot 100, where it peaked at number 51, and would be their only single to top the modern rock charts at, obviously number one. Song super popular for the band, got them a new plethora of eyes on them, because they've been established. I always knew the name Queens of the Stone Age, but wasn't really familiar with their music until this video kind of blew them up a bit. It got nominated for a Grammy for Best... damn it.
This is the song that people who were in the know were, people who had been following Queens of the Stone Age.
Like, this is the one.
It was like, oh, now everybody's catching up to us.
Okay, hipsters.
Yeah. That's how we do.
It did get nominated for Best Rock, Hard Rock Song at the Grammys. But it lost to, incidentally, David Grohl, Foo Fighters, All My Life. Incidentally, because David Grohl, for this album, which is Music for Deaf People, I believe is what it was called. Something like that. Yes. David Grohl actually...
Doesn't David Grohl play for...
He does the drums for this album and actually toured with them.
Traitor. Stabbed him in the back. Taking away their Grammy.
Well, the funny thing is, David Grohl can actually say, as far as modern rock success goes, he's been to number one with three different acts. Obviously, Queens of Stone Age, Foo Fighters, and Nirvana.
Josh Homme's still an asshole, though.
Oh, yeah. He's a ginger. What do you expect?
Oh, yeah.
Q Magazine said this song has the 70th greatest guitar track of all time. Rolling Stone called it the 97th best song of the decade. MNG called the 99th best song of all time. So no decade here. And you may ask yourself, what is the song about? Well, no one knows. It's not about anything in particular. So the title, there's truth. Also notable for this song was the video was directed by Michel Gondry, who they were big fans of after watching his work on Bjork.
Did you just call him Michel?
Michel Gondry.
Michel Gondry.
Michel Gondry.
Michel.
Michel, my bell. So the video memorable for their driving, they hit a deer with their truck, and the deer gets revenge.
It's good.
Classic Gondry silliness and very watchable.
Dream stuff.
I remember watching the video and thinking, like, hey, is that David Grohl? this ain't Foo Fighters. Who's this ginger? Oh, he's an asshole. So No One Knows, big hit, still gets major radio play, and the antithesis of No One Knows is clearly this song.
They're not matched up against each other, but it's just funny how things fall in place with your randomizer.
It kind of is.
Yeehaw. Yeehaw.
Alright, match number three.
Alright, that was Everybody Knows, a country pop song written and performed by the American band Dixie Chicks.
Yay, Dixie.
Yeah, it was the second physical single from their seventh studio album.
Holy shit.
Taking the Long Way, released on July of 2006.
That was the big album with all the Not Ready to Make Nice and the like.
Song was written by all three band members in collaboration with Gary Louris.
Good old Gary.
Who is a guitarist, singer, and songwriter of alternative country and pop music. He's the founding member of the Minneapolis-based band, the Jayhawks.
Oh, they opened up for Tom Petty many years ago when I saw him live.
The song is about the consequences that fame and success has on the lives of a celebrity. So it's the opposite of No One Knows.
Everybody knows.
Everybody knows.
Yes, Kanye could really do this song.
On the Hot Country Songs Billboard chart, it peaked at number 45.
Because fuck the Dixies, am I right, country fans?
Yeah, fuck them.
Did it chart on the pop?
No.
All right. It was a late single. People moved on with their lives. Still, I don't dislike it. It's fine. It's good.
Yeah.
As far as country music goes.
Sure, why not?
All right, let's just move on.
Yeah, please.
All right, last week I mentioned that Dido had a brother named Rollo, and he has an act, and this is a song from his band.
Cool. Give your mama a kiss, then I had to say goodbye. In the morning woke mama with a kiss on each eyelid. Even though I'm only a kid, certain things can't be hid. Mama grabbed me, held me like I was made to go, but left her in the stories untold. I said, mama, it'll be alright. When daddy comes home tonight. Whether long range weapon or suicide bomb, a wicked mind is a weapon of mass destruction. Whether your solar wave song or BBC One, misinformation is a weapon of mass destruction. You could have Caucasian or rapport Asian. Racism is a weapon of mass destruction. Whether inflation or globalization, fear is a weapon of mass destruction. Whether Halliburton, Enron or anyone, greed is a weapon of mass destruction. We need to find courage, overcome. Inaction is a weapon of mass destruction. Inaction is a weapon. You hear that, everybody? Apathy. Song still relevant, even more relevant today. Fucking depressing.
All right, so you're familiar with this song.
I saved this song.
You saved it from what?
I think it was like on the list of like ones that are gonna get kicked out.
Oh, look at you.
This is one of
one
of my favorites of the decade.
Oh, that is Faithless with Mass Destruction. Were you aware that the lead singer was brother to Dido?
I did not, is interesting because he's black.
Oh, well, he's all right. There's three members of the band, so maybe not that guy. Mass Destruction released in 2004. That did peak in the UK at number 7. A song initially perceived as an anti-war song, but members of the band, who are Maxie Jazz, which I believe that is the singer, Sister Bliss, and Rollo, those are the three members, claim it's more of an anti-ignorance song. It is basically a nod to UK's involvement in the war in Iraq. I say basically a lot, clearly. And basically.
Go ahead.
Basically.
Literally.
I'm literally going to basically drink some water right now.
Irregardless.
I don't say irregardless.
Well, guess what? Now it's acceptable, apparently.
Oh, is it in the Webster's?
Yes. It's happened. Just like the phrase.
Literally is now. They changed the definition on that. So people's ignorance can change the definition.
Well, yeah, because language is malleable. But the thing that always bugged me is could care less. Like, so you
I could care less.
So you actually care. And people, whenever I pointed out to them, like, I said I couldn't care less. Like, no, you didn't. You did not say you couldn't care less. You said you could care less. Because that's what everybody says now. And it doesn't make any fucking sense. Just, like, it begs the question. Doesn't make any sense.
You know what? I could care less about your stance on this. That is the name of the podcast. Okay. So, like I said, the band formed in early 1995. God damn it, now I just knows every time I say it. British electronica band. Who were very popular in the UK and obviously peaked in the early 2000s when the electronic scene kind of blew up. And like I said, this is not their biggest hit, but probably the best known stateside because people perceived it as taking shots at America.
Bush.
On the war.
Bush 2.
But they claim that's not the case.
Well, this is one of those rare instances where MTV actually did a good job of making me aware of a band that I had never heard or seen before.
They do well on TRL?
I think they did show up on TRL.
Interesting.
Which was, maybe that's where I saw it, or it might have been just like some random music video that played. I was like, wow, this song fucking slaps.
Slaps the cat. The band did split in 2011, but did reform in 2015 on the eve of their 20th anniversary.
They could feel Trump. They could feel him.
We got to combine forces.
Mass Destruction 2.0.
But why they were, while they went solo, they all had they did a lot of interesting things. Sister Bliss became a prominent dance DJ. Maxie Jazz became a DJ on a pirate radio station. And Rollo ended up producing two of Dido's albums. So, got three, hive minds working together, making good music, and making a difference, I guess. I have no idea if it'll beat the Dixie Chicks.
It should.
But I'm calling it right now. This may be
the next song.
Odds on favorite this week.
It definitely feels like the late aughts.
It's late exceptionally aughts. Late aughts. Just got in under the wire.
But aughts. it feels like. No. The song. This song definitely feels like a. Like, it's part of the knots. Like, it's... But go ahead.
All right. You'll know it, y'all.
Yeah.
Here we go.
You'll know it. Kisses and for all men she fled. With every bubble she sank with a drink. And washed it away down the kitchen sink. The door. The dog days are Well, okay, weird.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. You can stop now.
I thought it was the best part to fade.
So, that's Dog Days Are Over by Florence and the Machine.
Yes.
They are an English indie rock band, and that song is from their debut album, Lungs.
Ooh.
The song itself was released December 1st of 2008.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the album was released in 2009, which is weird, but I guess I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like I said, this song for a lot of us defined the end of the... of the knots.
End of the decade.
It felt like that's like music, pop music was heading to this weird, really overly orchestrated but propulsive sound that was interesting. And it all kind of felt like of a kind with, you know, yeah. Adele.
Sure.
And there was another artist that was really into like Wool Kid, I think is his name. You ever heard of Wool Kid?
Wool Kid?
Yeah. Let me see if I can.
No.
Wool Kid. Let's see. Maybe it's not Wool Kid. Maybe it's something else.
I think you just made you didn't run, make that up.
Run Boy, Run.
Run. Oh,
Yes.
Run the.
Yeah, Wool Kid. Oh, Wood Kid. Wood Kid. That's how much I like
Wool Kid hates Wood Kid. They have a fight. Wool Kid wins.
Yeah, and the biggest song from that album was Run, Boy, Run.
Okay.
The song was released 2012, so it was kind of like...
A little later.
It kind of bled into what music...
What it could have been.
Yeah.
Until they ruined everything.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Let's take a look at the charts.
It feels like it did all right. Definitely was prominent on the radio.
On the Billboard Hot 100, it peaked at number 21,
which is good for an alternative song.
On the Adult Top 40, it reached number 11.
Yeah, just barely missing like top 20, top 10. Right.
And then the Adult Alternative Songs Billboard chart.
That's the number one, motherfucker.
Number one.
That's right. Yeah, that feels like the very definition of adult alternative.
It also feels like it was probably their... I think Florence and the Machine definitely had a couple more hits after this, but
for sure.
Been kind of silent as of late.
They played the Mondavi Center a few years back. I kind of wanted to go see them. That's in Davis, California. But, you know, then I realized I don't make concert ticket money. That's a sad fact. I want to be successful enough that if I want to go to a concert that's not the Ace of Spades, the local, you know, club around here, I'll actually afford it. But yeah, $45 is a bit rich for my blood, and that was actually seemed reasonable at the time as well.
Music critics loved it.
Yeah.
Apparently the song was recorded with no instruments in a studio the size of a loo.
Like a bathroom.
Yeah. And then I guess after they created the lyrics, they...
Wait, so what, they were making mouse sounds and going a cappella?
I think so.
Oh, I hear that version.
And that music was added, the instrumentation was added. Yeah. After the fact, I mean, the thing is, her voice is amazing,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's the instruments are definitely a big part of why that song is popular, especially that sort of like the continuous drum beat.
Mm-hmm.
What's the name of the big
bass snare? The big front drum.
Yeah. I'm sure it's got a name. I can't remember the name all of a sudden.
I'll look it up. Start
Jesus, talking. So bad. I mean, that's all I got to say about it. It's, you know, it's got that propulsive sound that really works. And, you know, and then when all those instruments drop out and she just does her singing, you know, having that heavy instrumentation makes it significant when it all drops out and you just hear her voice. And then it just picks back right back up again once she, you know, reaches her crescendo.
That's right. It's bass drum.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's. I think that was right. I just wasn't sure.
Okay, well, Google confirmed it for me, so.
That's good.
I'm so smart. Okay, so that's fun.
Yeah.
yeah. But it's going to have to beat Broadway. All right, here we go. Who's ready to watch a live show? Tracy, I'll be yours forever, cause I never want to be without love. Tracy never set me free. No, I ain't lying. Never set me free. Tracy, no, no, no.
Is there any way that you could speed through these entries?
Why? What's up?
So we can just get past, like, they have no chance, and they're just...
Well, certainly against Dog Days Are Over. You're probably right. But somebody went out of the way to add that, so I want to give it its propers. That is Without Love, released in 2002, from the Broadway musical Hairspray, which we have spoken about.
Man. But were these songs ever released as singles?
This one in particular was not. But it does have its own Wikipedia page, therefore it qualifies. Inspired by Marvin Gaye and Tammy Farrell's, their duets, it's a song for teenagers broke down, you know, about societal barriers to be together. It's a love story. It's bringing it down for love and one another. I'll just leave it at that. Considered by many to be one of the more iconic songs from the musical. And we'll just leave it at that.
Great.
Let's see here. All right. Hey, here's a pop song everyone knows.
That was actually released.
That was actually released. As a single. Actually charted and everything. There's songs that are in the Ultimate Tournament that were never released as singles. Okay. It happens.
Okay.
But this one, well... You'll know it.
But at the same time...
I'm sorry. You guys want to say?
At the same time, there are songs, right, that were never released as singles, but have become part of the musical landscape that
if you're a fan
most
of
people are aware.
Hairspray.
No one knows the Hairspray song except for people who are into that musical.
Which is a very popular musical. That's just not your scene. You're not hip to the Hairspray crowd.
Okay.
Clearly. And we'll prove that further here.
Do we have some Book of Mormon songs in there, too?
That's next decade.
Okay.
But brace for it. All right. Now, before she was so rudely interrupted...
That was a very short clip.
I'm sorry. There you go.
It's okay, though. You can end it now.
Well, if you start right at the beginning of the chorus, I don't have to play more. So that's what she did. Okay. All right. Who we got?
excuse me. Pardon me. My voice.
Too much coffee.
That was Unwritten. Single by Natasha Bedingfield.
That's such an English sounding name.
Bedingfield.
Miss Bedingfield.
Released 2004, November specifically, end of November, right after Thanksgiving. It's, you know, a Thanksgiving treat.
And well after 9/11.
Yeah. I was even going to mention it, bro. Don't kill the joke.
No, the joke's already been dead.
No, I mean...
It's just like the many people who passed away on 9/11. Jesus. I said that was me. That was not Rob.
Oh, no. So it's the third single from her studio album of the same name. Is the album named Natasha or is the album named Unwritten? I don't know. No, yeah, the
I'm
the
sure album it's called Unwritten.
Yeah, the album is called Unwritten. Okay. Yeah, so Unwritten was most played song on U.S. radio during 2006.
Oh shit!
So pretty big, pretty big. It peaked at number 5 on the Billboard Hot 100.
Seems low for a song that was the most played song of the year.
I know, right? It did reach number 1 in the Czech Republic.
Well, that's important.
In Poland.
Kept them warm.
It did reach number 1 on the U.S. Adult Contemporary Billboard chart and the Dance Club song, which is weird because it doesn't really feel like a dance song.
I get all dancey. Pocketful of Sunshine seems more dancey than Unwritten.
Yeah.
She kind of came and went. She was like a blip. Like, hey.
Yeah, but the legacy of the song, it is the theme song to the TV series. Is this like a reality TV show? The Hills? Is it?
No, The Hills, that was like the...
Didn't they reveal that it was fake as fuck?
Yeah, it was like an MTV show that kind of like played like Beverly Hills 90210 if it was for reals. But yeah, you know, well, like most reality shows, it was, you know, this one was largely scripted. So
yeah, I guess before The Hills was Laguna Beach, the real Orange County.
Yeah, these are terrible shows my sister enjoyed.
I didn't watch when that series ended in 2010. The next one was The City, which I guess is sort of the
watching the grittier Hills version.
And then after that, The Hills, New Beginnings.
Oh, I thought
which is, I believe,
one of the ghettos. So
currently in its first season on MTV. That series reunites the original cast members alongside their children.
Oh, yeah, because they're all old and gross now.
Yeah. Those kids that we were watching on TV, our age,
mm-hmm.
Guess what? They're now our age still, and they just happen to have children.
And look at us.
Unlike us. They were childless. Childless monsters.
By choice, for the most part.
But anyways, a remixed version of that song also appears on the show. I believe it's used as the theme song. Maybe not. I'm not sure.
we'll just
mentions that there is a remix version of the song in that TV series.
He's had record scratches. Alright. That's good. That's a Natasha Bedingfield. That's a fine
Bedingfield.
Song. I can listen to it now and not be sick of it.
Yep.
And it's up against a song that was never released as a single, but...
Oh, no. Here we go. Another one.
Was one of the more critically acclaimed songs off one of the more critically acclaimed albums of the 2000s.
Okay.
Here's a listen.
I don't mind. I made a lot of mistakes in my mind.
Okay, that is Sufjan Stevens with his song Chicago, Chicago, I'll show you right.
Stevens makes quaint music. That's
It's lush, man. It's lush.
Very sweet. Very
it's
sweet.
From his like, I need an edge.
I need
to be hit in the head with blunt objects.
No, like, I like his song that he did for... I like the soundtrack he did for Call Me By My Name. And
oh, that's right.
And he did that Tanya Harding song that was...
I, Tanya?
No, it's actually not...
You know my name, Tanya?
It's not actually in that movie. Oh. It's something he did, sort of like created on the side.
Oh, so
it's like a companion. It's music inspired by I, Tanya. It has nothing to do with the movie whatsoever, but it's a song about Tanya Harding.
Okay, so we'll most likely hear him in the next decade. But sure. This was kind of his breakout. This is a song is called Chicago, released in 2005. It is off his concept album, Illinois. So his idea was he was going to release an album...
For every city?
Every state.
Oh.
His first... This would be his second. His first state was Michigan.
Mm.
And then he did Illinois in 2005.
So then the songs in Illinois are all named after cities in Illinois.
Well, they're all based on experiences in the state of Illinois. Mm. So he has not released another state since 2005. So,
Man, where's California?
I feel like it has to be a sooner than later state, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know if he'll finish this before. I mean, he's young, but he's got, you know, come on, man. I look forward to the Rhode Island album, personally.
Can't wait.
The song tells a story about a young man on a road trip. It's considered semi-autobiographical. Semi-autobiographical.
Yes.
It's basically, at the time, he was moving to start a new life with a new girl, only to have it go south and having to start over, and you know, moving back to New York. So, but it's a song about, you know, idealized visions of how you want your life to go and how they don't quite, you know, match the fantasy doesn't match the reality, and having to, you know, basically restart each time and still living in this idealistic, this time will be different, and it never is. It is the probably arguably his most popular song prior to his song from Call Me By Your Name. And he does end most concerts with it when he does perform. If you've heard it all, it wasn't on the radio, but it was prominently featured in the movie Little Miss Sunshine, which is where I remember hearing it from. It is a beloved song, like I said, many made a lot of critics' best of the decade list along with the album Illinois, so... probably still won't beat Natasha Bedingfield, but that's probably because he has a funny name.
This is the secret weapon song of the week. The reason why I picked the ones that I picked.
Okay,
so it's not hit the switch. Okay. Not this Steven song. This next song.
All right, give me a second.
Oh no, you ruined my intro.
I realize I think I have the remix here. Unless the remix is best known version of it. I just want to make sure play the right version for you.
Oh, man.
I don't want to disappoint you.
Oh, man.
All right, ready? Here we go.
Yeah.
I love the dreaming when I think of the safety in the clouds out my window.
Oh, I know why he picked this song.
Oh,
look at Robbie with his platform.
If we suddenly fall, should I scream out? Or keep very quiet and cling to my mouth as I'm crying, so frightened of dying. Yes, I'm trying, but fear's got a hold on me. Yes, this fear's got a hold on me. Yes, this fear's got a hold on me.
That's Murphy singing along.
Murphy, big fan of... Who is that?
This song is called Death.
Oh, no.
And it's the second single from English indie rock band White Lies.
Oh, no.
It was originally released on September 22nd, 2008, okay, prior to the release of their debut album, To Lose My Life.
Ah.
In terms of charting, there's really no information about that, but...
It did appear on a certain soundtrack.
It did appear on a certain soundtrack. Which gives me the opportunity to
talk
about
it. It's October, why not?
The film, it appears in the film Jennifer's Body.
Jennifer's Body? That crap?
A personal favorite of mine from the Knots.
Yes.
It was released in 2009, actually September of 2009, so it just celebrated its 10-year anniversary.
Congratulations.
This is the movie with... that was written by Diablo Cody.
Yes.
Directed by Karen Kasuma.
Mm-hmm. And starring?
And starring everyone's favorite punching bag, Megan Fox, and Amanda Seyfried. Oh. and it was one of my favorite horror movies of that decade, and still is.
You rewatched it recently.
Yes. Holds up beautifully.
So, do you want to get into it? Why?
Well, I mean, back then, I liked it a lot, and I didn't understand why people disliked it until I realized, oh, they just want to hate on Megan Fox. Even though Megan Fox probably showed that she has some chops in terms of comedic timing and acting in Jennifer's Body.
And she's shown that sense as well. And she's... Yeah. I didn't hate it when I saw it. I watched it here. I never would have watched it unless you made me. And you didn't make me. You can't make me watch anything. But I had nothing better to do, so I watched it. So you've been championing this movie forever. And it has become a bit of a cult classic in subsequent years. Mm-hmm. So you can
Another one.
So you can get your hipster cred. Get
another it. One that I called. Along with Speed Racer and...
Crank 2. We just need a Repo Man to find its eyes.
I know, right? I think Repo Man might have been... Repo Man might be my lone...
You alone in that room?
Yeah.
You're not going
to
die on that.
That guy, the director, though, went on to make some of the most popular episodes of Game of Thrones, so...
Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah. I'm just saying, you know, I know quality when I see it.
Okay. And Jennifer's Body was quality, and you
refused to watch it with me, though, recently.
I didn't need to see it a second time, because I wasn't enamored that much with the first time.
Okay.
I feel like Diablo Cody has become a better writer since.
Yeah, she was coming off of Juno.
Yeah.
So she was, like, it was all sort of, like, set up in such a way where it felt like it was going to be, you know, a hit, because Diablo Cody... Karen Kusuma was...
What else she directed?
Eon Flux is probably the most popular thing that people know her from, but she, prior to that, did Fight Girl with Michelle Rodriguez.
You mean Girl Fight.
Girl Fight, sorry, yeah. Fight Girl.
oh, boy.
Shit, yeah. She's gone
Girl
on,
Fight is a good movie. That is...
She went on to do The Invitation most recently. She did Destroyer with Nicole Kidman that you've probably seen like posters for, maybe trailers for, but you actually never saw in theater because
it didn't come out here. I think it was in theaters for a second.
Not here. No way was it. I don't think it was here.
I think maybe. Did it get well received?
It was somewhat well received. It just did not.
I remember
do well.
That title. Yes. No. It was. It like played like in like a random. Theater here, like maybe last year or earlier this year. Mm.
Probably that Regal out in the Thomas that sometimes plays stuff.
Or the Century in Roseville.
Yeah.
That's where I saw Artist Self
Defense. Anyways, watch Jennifer's Body, people.
Yeah, you give it a go. It's not boring.
So. Well, ringing endorsement.
Sometimes that's all I need.
Okay, let's move on. It's already noon.
I know.
Gotta get going here.
Gotta play basketball.
I got poop.
And you gotta poop. Yeah. All right. We're at the back end.
Oh man, here we go again.
All right. Well, let's hope this doesn't make you poop. okay. Here we go. Let's get back to my wish list. Here we go. Let's play it. Death is up against. Hey, Broadway baby. Oh, I got the volume down.
In the distance, it's a void. That comes from deep within. There's a cry asking why. I pray the answer's up ahead. 'Cause I know where I've been. There's a
okay. I'm trying to keep it succinct for you. Alright, that's I Know Where I've Been. Also from the... the Broadway soundtrack of Hairspray, released in 2002, obviously. That is a gospel-style soul song, and the only serious song without a wink, nudge, nudge in the whole play. Basically, the character Motormouth Maybell leads a protest for racial equality through the streets of Baltimore. It is the most serious song in the movie, The play, in the movie, the character is played by Queen Latifah, and she does sing it. All right, let's move on. All right. See? Hey, I move fast. If you have to poop. I know what that feels like. Because I have to poop all the time. All right, so.
I fucking hate Goldfrapp.
There you go again.
Scared of you, I have to say. It really was an amazing, incredible performance. Are you proud of it?
Really? You're sneaking your advertising of Joker, bro?
My autoplay was on, so after I played my little Goldfrapp, it moved right to the Jimmy Kimmel Joaquin Phoenix thing, which apparently is very awkward. Which, alright. Back to the song.
Hi, that's Strict Machine. It's an electronic dance song written by British group Goldfrapp.
I fucking hate Goldfrapp.
For their second studio album, Black Cherry, released once on July of 2003 and then re-released in May of 2004. I guess in the United States, Strict Machine was released to success on the Billboard dance charts. Specifically, what's the name of this stupid chart? Billboard Hot Dance Club Play.
Oh, yeah.
Number one.
Oh, shit.
And then Hot Dance Singles Sales, number three.
Ah, fun.
On the UK singles chart, it charted twice. Once in 2003, where it had reached number 25. Mm-hmm. And then again in 2004 when it was re-released. And then charted it at 20, so a slight improvement.
Funny how that works.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Goldfrapp.
Yeah. Goldfrapp.
All right. Cool. You have to poop. All right. Let's get all folksy up in here. Kind of, sort of. I don't know.
Here's a quick fun fact about it.
Okay.
Actress Gwendolyn Christie features on the record sleeve disguised in a rabbit mask.
I don't know who that is.
Game of Thrones.
I don't watch that.
The big knight.
Oh.
She's the lady, the naked lady with the rabbit hat on.
Oh,
or
fun.
Rabbit mask on.
That's cool.
Yeah. There's a fun fact
Thank
for
you.
All you Game
Thank
of
you.
Thrones fans.
Thank you for contributing.
Brienne of Tarth. She's on that album cover. Check it out if you must.
Oh, I must. All right. It's Opponent. Let him go. That is Ray Lamontagne. I said that wrong. Wow, this got loud. And that song's called Trouble. Released in 2006, peaked at number 25 on the UK chart. It is the first track off his debut album. He is an American folk singer. Funny how these indie acts in America seem to get no traction in the States, but seem to do okay in the UK. So, thank you for taking care of our indie artists there, UK. Maybe best known for appearing in a Traveler's Insurance ad. I don't know if you remember that one. It featured a dog concerned over the safety of his bone. Kept him there. The song ultimately was a writing exercise. He wanted to emulate early 60s soul songs, simple in structure but direct in lyrics. Did he succeed? You be the judge. The song has appeared in numerous TV shows, including Rescue Me, Torchwood, The Office, and the season finale of the first season of True Blood, which is probably where it might be best known for. Hey, you want to hear something shitty?
Yeah, do it.
And it's a callback, too.
Yep.
38 special, baby. Okay. Blind. So hold me when I'm here, rob me when I'm wrong, hold me when I'm scared, and love me when I'm gone. Everything I am and everything in me wants to be the one you wanted me to be. I'll never let you down, even if I could. I'd give up everything if only for your good. So hold me when I'm here, rob me when I'm wrong. Oh god, that's a terrible song.
Yeah, that poop that you just heard is When I'm Gone, a song by American rock band Three Doors Down.
Uh-huh.
One of the worst acts to come out of, came out of the late 90s, right? No, I guess.
They were 2000. Kryptonite was a 2000 song.
Well, there you go. That's what the knots have wrought.
And that was their... They were supposed to be a one-hit wonder who didn't get the memo.
This song ruined it. It was released in October of 2002 as the lead single from their second album, Away From the Sun. Mm-hmm. It peaked at number 4 on the Billboard Hot 100,
Jesus
which
Christ.
Is just so gross.
It's so horribly written. It's just a bad generic. It's Nickelback levels of bad.
Oh, so they're running for the mayors of Mediocreville.
I think they are, you know, proud residents.
Of Mediocreville?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Did you hear that Nickelback has gotten a bit of a resurgence because they forced Trump to take down that meme? Look at this photograph.
Wait.
And instead of, you know, it being a, you know, how people were doing a joke as a graph.
Yeah.
But it was a photo of Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, and some Ukrainian oligarchs. And he posted that. Trump posted that shit.
Trump posted a meme.
Yeah, with Nickelback. And Nickelback demanded that he take it down because they said he was infringing on their copyright. And so he had to take it down. And then everybody applauded and said, you know what, Nickelback? You got one.
No.
You got one.
You know, here's the thing. I never said they were bad people. I just said they made bad music.
Right, right. But I'm just saying that, so, you know.
I mean, Chad Kroeger... Yeah, you know, he married Avril Lavigne. I mean, we all make mistakes. But I've never, you know, I've seen him. He seems sincere enough. And it doesn't surprise me that he would ask Trump to keep their shit away from his little hands.
And we all know that Three Doors Down played at the inaugural
for
Trump. So there's no way they're going to come back from that.
Well... Maybe
they're not going to have that Nickelback love now.
I think they are a State Fair act for life.
Yeah, yeah. When the song was written, or
County Fair actually.
One of the songwriters, a member of the band, said, "We were playing it in Europe and could immediately tell it was something special. From day one, it got the crowd up. I always knew it would do well."
It was a very popular song during the war in Iraq because it was one of those come home safe songs.
Been a while.
No. That song is also horrible.
Stained. Oh, God.
You know what? I would probably prefer the Stained song, and I hate that song.
Yeah. It's all terrible, so.
It's all just
levels of terrible.
Alright, let's move on. Last song, last match.
Holy shit! What the fuck is that?
It's the New Bell and Sebastian.
It's the record we've been listening to and enjoying, Barry.
Well, that's unfortunate because it sucks ass.
right. Here we go. Once again, I have the one. Okay, that is Step Into My Office, Baby, released in 2003, peaked at number 32 in the UK. That is Belle and Sebastian. The song is basically a song rife with office-related innuendo. Office affair with a boss. The boss is a female, though, in the song, so it's less seedy, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but it's rife with innuendo. It's a humorous song.
What's that clip from?
That is from the movie High Fidelity. Mm. And that was Jack Black entering the record store to the sounds of Belle Sebastian to his chagrin. So, good movie. All right.
They went on to compose the music for God Help the Girl. Have you seen that movie?
I have not. Is it good?
I hear it's very good.
I can't wait to see it. All right. Final fours. You got yours? I feel like there's two locks, and then it can go all over.
I'm going to go Gold Digger. No One Knows.
Okay.
Dog Days Are Over.
Okay.
And then I am going to throw things off a bit by saying... I'm not going to say Death, even though I like it, but I'm going to say Mass Destruction.
Okay.
I think that works, yeah. No conflicts there. Okay.
All right. So I got you on Queens of the Stone Age and Florence and the Machine. I'm going Natasha Bedingfield's Unwritten. I'm going Goldfrapp.
Wow. Really? Oh, I see what you're saying. Because you think Gold Digger is going to get the Kanye hate.
Kanye was my backup in case you picked the exact same songs. But yeah, Kanye hate is alive and well. It will get out of the qualifier because I swear to the Christ of 303... pizza. I don't know what to do on this planet anymore. All right, so we end with the highest chart. Lizzo, number one for the fifth week.
Got the DNA test back. Turns out I'm 100% that bitch.
Stop it. But this song right now, and then the Senorita song still sitting around the number two. This song is currently number three, and it doesn't sound like every other pop song.
No.
It almost sounds...
Duh.
No, it's not that one. it's by artist Louis Capaldi. Are you familiar with the name?
Yeah.
Well, he has a song out, and it's currently number three on the charts, and we will end the podcast with it this week, and until next week, the balcony is closed.
Vatronic.
Catch you on the bounce. See you in the future.
Peace out, Girl Scout. You know he is, you get me through it all. I let my guard down, and then you pulled the rug. I was getting kinda used to being someone you love. I'm going under, and this time I feel there's no one to turn to. You use his big boy voice. I'm going to die. I'm going to be sleeping without you. I need somebody to know. Somebody to hear, somebody to have, just to know how it feels. It's easy to say, but it's never the same. I guess I kinda like the way you help me escape. Now the day bleeds. Alright, I take all that back. That just sounds like Piano Boy tripe that we've been hearing for many, many months and years. Yeah. Alright, fuck you, Louis Capaldi, and your big boy. It's too late to apologize.
It's too late to apologize. Alright, next week. Until then, we already went through all that. Bye now.